Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? And if a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, does it really make a sound? So how many hours of armchair philosophers and grade 10 stoners wasted discussing riddles like this? But has anyone ever asked, what if you told a joke and nobody laughed? Well, one filmmaker, Matt Frame, along with producer Sean Bordoff, a.k.a. Vibrato, the human vibrator, decided to look at this question in detail. They launched a troupe of special stand-up comics on a trip across North America, seemingly to see how long they could last without a laugh. The results are a new film called No Joke that has its world premiere in North by Northeast on Saturday, June 15th at 6:30, followed by a Q&A. And I'm pleased to have the human vibrator himself, Sean Bordoff, don't get too close, here in the studio to talk to me. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Daniel. Well, the vibrations don't work that great on radio. It's really an in-person type thing. So you'll have to come to the movie on Saturday night at 6:30 and get a vibrating hug to
get the full feeling.
The full effect, yeah.
So who are these comics in the movie and what makes them special?
There's three comics that we land up with. When Matthew started this whole project, he wanted to do a movie about the Vancouver comedy scene. And he found that most of the comics he was talking to just didn't want to open up. These comedians had success and they weren't that interesting. There were a few that were interesting, and all the ones that were didn't have any success. The Vancouver audiences just hated these guys. And he picked around nine of them and kept about three. And the three comics were David DJ Roy, or Wa, depending where you're from. Also, Ali Hemraj and James Brown, not to be confused with the king of soul.
It's not the same guy?
No.
I was watching the whole movie. I was saying, oh.
He looks so young.
He looks so young now.
Yeah, for sure.
He looks like is he still alive?
I think James Brown is still. I haven't heard if he hasn't. But that's one of your ones for the Death Watch, right? Is this guy alive or not? So
what happened with DJ, Ali, James, and you?
They were doing shows in Vancouver, and we were videotaping them. And we had another comic who was kind of strange, and he had a long name, and he had a cane, and he was close to blind, so he wore these sunglasses because the lights would irritate his eyes. It was just a really, really odd character.
But these three guys, what happened to you and them? You got
right.
on a bus?
I'm getting there.
Oh, okay, sorry.
So these three guys and this fourth guy who dropped out of the film because he didn't want to get a passport to go to the States. We're going to take a trip to LA and back, and I was going to go with them as a producer. Now, since we lost the weird guy, the director asked me, hey, Sean, do you want to actually put on your vibrato outfit and be the tour manager and get these guys to LA? So I looked into getting transportation. I had a deal with a co-op that fell through, and then I had a minivan rented from Budget, and Budget, when we went to pick it up, didn't have the right size vehicle, so we got stuck with a regular car. It was a medium-sized car, but we're five big guys, and five and a half big guys. David DJ Roy wasn't that big, so he got the bitch seat. He was in the middle, in the back the whole time.
So the five of you drove down to the States and started going to nightclubs. Well, first describe, because this is radio, describe what you look like as the human vibrator.
Right, so the human vibrator has vibrating motors on a harness that's along my entire body, my arms, my legs, my torso, as well as vibrating massage gloves. And when I press a switch, the whole thing vibrates. Now, I can't really go out in most public places with this outfit because it's quite risque. So I have a long PVC coat that looks like The Matrix or something like that.
You wear it over the top of it.
Yeah, I wear it over the top, and it covers up the vibrations, but that on itself kind of looks odd.
But it seems to both vibrate, and visually it seems to flash and glow in the dark.
Yeah, there's lights, and the version that I had in the film is slightly different than the one I have now, which the lights were crazy bright. like I would go into a dark room and people would be blinded. They'd cover their eyes. But now I have smaller LEDs. The suit keeps evolving. When we shot the film, it was vibrato 3.72 because it was the third version with about six or seven different alterations to it.
And now, where did the vibrators come from?
Well, the vibrators are built into it, so they're sewn into the suit.
But what are they taken from?
Initially, you can buy these gloves called the Fukuoko vibrating massage gloves, and they have vibrating motors on the end of each finger. These motors were cut out and wired to switches that were connected to a rechargeable battery pack.
But why do people use them? What are they there for?
The gloves themselves are used for vibrating massage, and they're waterproof, so you can use them underwater. But for me, the benefit is
underwater.
Yeah, you can use them. I've used them in the hot tub, but for the benefit really is for me is I can wash them, because after a bit of use, I want to make sure they're sanitized for the next time I.
And what does it feel like having hundreds of or dozens of vibrators touching your body?
It's tingles, you know, and it feels nice because it's. You do feel the vibrations, but not as intense. So over a period of 5 or 6 hours, it's still not bothersome. So it is a real fun thing to have.
Okay, let's get back to the comedians. So In Vancouver, dead silence in the halls. What happened when they went to the States?
A lot of the same kind of stuff. Often crowds would be upset, but some crowds, you know, like them. We're able to find your crowd. That's a thing about comedy, eh? You might not be funny to some people, but you could be funny to other people. So it's important to know who your audience is and try and find them and work on that. Like Andrew Dice Clay, he brought in his own house. Like people would fill a giant stadium to see Andrew Dice Clay because they like that brand of humor, that kind of risque, abrasive, but it's also shock for the sense of shock. It's there just to kind of say, oh, wow, did he just say that kind of thing? And I think one of the comics in the film, Ali Hemrush, has that kind of appeal where he's kind of like very,
very
edgy.
Offensive.
And then, yes.
Very offensive.
And disgusting. Others would say disgusting.
I would say disgusting,
and offensive.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people say. Yeah.
So in order for a comedian to continue with their act, they have to somehow believe that they're actually funny, even if no one's laughing. So how did the filmmaker approach that? How do they prove that they believe themselves that they're funny?
When Matt approached the guys, he was honest with them. He said, look, I'm making a film about how you guys are not respected and aren't funny. And I want to see what you're going to say. And he was thinking, oh, I'm going to get my ass kicked. These guys are going to get really upset. But contrary, they said, no, you know what? We are funny. We're going to prove we're funny. So we gave them all kinds of venues, open mic nights. So there was one in a laundromat. You know, there's just strange venues that these guys performed at. And then we had the ultimate type of performance evaluation by the guy who owns the Laugh Factory, the world famous Laugh Factory in LA. And, you know, if he says you're funny or not, then you know what the industry is thinking.
And didn't some of them also take polygraph tests to prove that they actually think they're funny?
Yeah, I arranged for a polygraph for these guys to actually see if they really do believe they're funny.
And do you consider yourself funny? Are you a stand-up comic?
I used to do stand-up. I think I'm funnier when I don't try.
Are you a performance artist?
No. The vibrato is something that I would do because I like to go to different fetish events, and it was a good icebreaker, and it's a lot of people like
it. So this is for your personal pleasure and prospects.
Yeah, and I don't even consider that even a character, because I'm not changing my voice. I'm not doing a different persona. I don't have a different background. It's just Sean Bordoff in a human vibrator outfit. So I call myself Vibrato because it's vibrator without the R at the end. It's the same kind of thing.
But there's a scene where you're in New York City and you get on stage and you just sort of like you're talking with me. You just chat about where you bought the items that made your harness and vibrators.
Yeah, the idea was when we lost that weird guy, Matt was like, well, why don't we get Vibrato to go on stage? And that will kind of act like a weird contrast for these guys, because we need something to counterbalance their performance. And that way it shows, well, are these guys funny or not? We have someone who's going on stage who's not telling jokes, who's just being straight and saying things as they are, but he's dressed like a human vibrator. And we'll see what kind of reactions that gets as opposed to what kind of reaction the guys get from their humor.
So you were the straw man or the red herring or whatever, so they could follow and say, look how much funnier we are.
Yeah, and I don't think that always happens.
No, it might set the mood for drudge.
Yeah, you never know what it's going to do.
So finally, what advice would you give to a stand-up comic who's just starting? What would you say to do? Would follow the path you took and your friends?
Your first show is going to be the scariest one you're ever going to do. So if you don't die that first show, if you actually survive, well, get up and try again and see what you think. See how you like it. And don't be afraid to go to classes like comedy gyms and work with other comics and other people who are there to help you and gain experience. Because stand-up is an individual activity where it's just you in front of with a mic in front of a crowd. And once you're up on stage, there's no one there to hold your hand. It could be frightening, but it also can be really rewarding if you do well and it's something that you really like. So if it's something you strongly feel that you want to try and you feel like maybe that's your path, go for it.
Thanks, Sean. I've been speaking with Sean Bordoff, whose new film, No Joke, is playing at North by Northeast in Toronto on Saturday at 6:30 at the Bloor Cinema. Go to northbynortheastnxne.com/film for more information. This is Daniel Garber, the movies for CIUT 89.5 FM, and my website, culturalmining.com.